Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league. Triple M Rocks
the Footy. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Saturday afternoon from Allianz Stadium. The Roosters taking on the Titans. It's lovely to be with you on a perfect day for footy, a terrific day in Sydney. No matter where you are listening to us, great to have your company across the afternoon as we are joined by Ryan Girdler, James Hooper and Wendell Saylor. Love to be back together, boys. Let's start with you, Hoops. You, of course, have been in the United States. You've gone to see the big fight. How was it?
Good to see good people, Tanya.
Yeah.
Look, it was an absolutely phenomenal experience. The fight itself, look, it was more of an event than a fight. What actually happened inside the ring, I think in hindsight, everybody can see that it was purely a money-making, money-spinning exercise.
But it was pretty successful on that front.
Absolutely, it was. Smashed all sorts of records here in Australia and overseas and all around the world. But it really was, being over there, it was just like an out-of-control rollercoaster ride everywhere you went. There was just fight posters. It was all everybody wanted to talk about. Some of the interviews that I did, Tone, I think you needed subtitles and an interpreter to understand
what you were saying.
But we'll put those, absolutely. But we'll put those down to experience and, all in all, just a ripping time.
Did you meet many Irish people over there, mate?
Oh, there were thousands of them. Everywhere you went. And as soon as they knew that you worked for Fox Sports or you're with the Australian media, they just wanted to mob you and talk to you about the fight and talk to you about their man.
How good.
Well, you had to go to America to get mobbed. Brilliant. What about you, Joel? How was your week been?
Oh, mate, my week's been, it's been tough.
Why's that?
Well, I've actually had to be a full-time parent this week. So
full-time father.
Yeah,
first time, you know, everything.
Wait.
Yeah.
What are you usually every
part-time? Part-time
yeah, father.
Aren't your kids grown up now?
Oh, my daughter's 14, my son's 19, but more so my daughter.
They're your children, right?
And Tara's.
So you're a full-time father.
Well, sort of.
Okay.
I don't like being a full-time father, but look, by the way, so my wife, I don't know, she must be working that hard, so she's had 6 days or a week in Hong Kong.
Oh, hello.
So for me, I don't like getting up early all the time. That's usually what she does, and I sort of, you know, at breakfast time, I sort of get up and about.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been real hands-on this week.
Really?
Haven't cooked too much. Clean. Just been on call for my daughter.
Except for the feeding of her, right, apparently.
No, I've fed her. Don't worry, I've fed her. I haven't made anything, but it's been pretty full on. And then tomorrow is Father's Day.
Yeah.
And I have to go to the airport at 7 in the morning to pick my wife up.
No way.
Oh, I can't believe that. That's just, she's not, it's all about her this week. Oh, now I know how she feels when it's all about me.
Well, she's had nearly 40 years off it.
She has not, mate. She's only, well, she would have been 4 when she met me. Come on.
Ryan Girdler.
Hello, Tony.
Lovely to see you, my friend.
Mate, I've just been here working away. How was your week in, you were 10 days in New York?
Yeah, no, it was sensational. I'd start the morning with a bagel and cream cheese from wherever. Lunch was usually a slice of pizza from famous Joe's.
That.
Yeah.
Athlete first.
Very, very well. Mm. About 4 p.m., I'd begin responsible consumption of alcohol, and then I'd go to dinner and end up in some kind of underground speakeasy. It was terrific.
Really?
Yeah.
It kind of feels like it's the first show of a new season, but it's actually just about to go into the finals. Everyone's had a good break. So good on you guys.
Fresh.
And
we're ready.
I'm really happy for you, boys.
Yeah, terrific game of football today, although you'd imagine the Roosters clearly favourites to win. It's plenty for them to play for, though. They win, they play the Broncos here in a final next week. They lose, they travel to Suncorp, and nobody wants to do that, of course, unless you are the Broncos. Plenty for the Roosters to do, to get up and about today.
Shouldn't meet a lot of resistance today. We're just going through some of the players that aren't playing today for the Titans, and gee, they've got half of their salary cap on the bench. No Hurrell today, no Ryan James. Obviously, Copley's been out for a while. Nathan Peets is now back on the bench. Chris McQueen's been out for an extended period already, and Jared Wallace is suspended. So, I mean, we saw it last night, though, with South Sydney. Their performance was pretty good against Parramatta. But the Titans are going to have to find something today or they could get embarrassed again. And look, they've already lost 6 games in a row.
Yep.
What a really poor back end of the season. If they get flogged today, well, where do they go from there?
No two ways about it, Gerds. I reckon the Roosters have to win today because their record at Suncorp Stadium is awful, especially in finals. They're in the grand final qualifier. You go back two seasons. In 2015, they're in the grand final qualifier against the Broncos up there. They got absolutely smoked off the park, whereas their record here, Tone,
yep,
when they play the Broncos here, is outstanding. So they definitely want to win this game, and they definitely want to secure a home semi-final.
And it's going to make it a bit easier, too, because Darius Boyd, you wouldn't think he'd play next week.
He won't play. No, no. He definitely won't play. It's a grade one hamstring strain, and the same with Tevita Pangai Jr.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Do you play Cody Nikorima at fullback, and do you play Benji Marshall in the halves?
Yeah, I think that's the way that
they're leaning at this early stage, and then young Jai Arrow will replace Pangai Jr. on the bench.
That's a very...
No, I don't know about that. I think I'd be going for Kahu. I'd be putting Kahu at the back and bringing someone else on the wing at the moment. I think those combinations through the middle, they're really solid at the moment. I think that, you know, using Benji off the bench, and I thought Ben Hunt was almost the difference the other night
with his kicking game in the second half and some
of the options that he took. And see, I don't know if I'd be disrupting that sort of, that's core spine. I'd be just maybe trying to plug someone in there for Darius, because knowing he's going to be the week back, why would you make all those shuffles, and especially for a big final, and then have to reshuffle when Darius comes back a week later?
Well, because who's their wing option? You've got that young Jonas Pearson.
Yeah, you've got Pearson coming. You've got David Mead up there. He's got plenty of experience.
Mead's good too, yeah.
I'd be keeping it as simple as possible. Just on the Titans hoops, how... Obviously, they're without a coach at the moment. They're going through the process, you would imagine. Yeah. What's sort of coming up on the radar?
Yeah, they've formed a... It's a little bit much ado about nothing at the moment. I don't think they're acting anywhere near swiftly enough. They've formed a subcommittee. They've got Rebecca Frizzell. They've got a couple of other rugby league identities. No, I don't believe the Hain plane is on the subcommittee. Their number one target initially, when they made the hardline decision to move Neil Henry on, was Kevy Walters. But the way that it's ticked on over the course of the last 10 days, I think it's becoming clearer and clearer that Kevy isn't prepared to move into an NRL role yet.
Okay.
Perhaps he is biding his time. He feels as though he's still got more to achieve with the Maroons and the Queensland Rugby League, and perhaps he is biding his time for more for when the Broncos job might become available in a couple of seasons.
Just checking out the Taipower scoreboard. The Eels 22 over the Rabbits 16. We'll get to that game. And, of course, on Thursday night, the Broncos 20, the Cowboys 10. That puts the Cowboys in that spot. All that has to happen is the Dragons.
Yeah, but you would think Wayne Bennett's had the... you know, the Broncos job for that long, that, you know, he'll probably take that to the grave and then he'll leave it to someone in his will, you would imagine.
How old is Wayne now? I think he's signed until he's 69, which is the end of 2019.
And that's his favourite number.
I've heard that.
That is the best idea I've ever heard. You have to leave the coaching position in your will. I hereby decree. It's terrific. The Dragons, of course, will have to get over the Bulldogs. They will then take that eighth spot. The Cowboys will be gone. Would have to be something remarkable in the Penrith Manly game later on this evening in terms of points differential for the Cowboys to have any shot of remaining in the eight, you would think. Plenty to get to next time. Matty Moylan, what are the dramas that are happening at Penrith? Is he loved? Is he wanted? Is he staying? Is he going? Who knows? Right here at Allianz Stadium, it's 56-12 the Roosters over the Titans in the under-20s. Plenty ahead. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers. Aussie Crawl rocking the footy as we like to do at Triple M. Aussie Crawl, of course, not Macklemore, and Aussie Crawl won't be the ones who are performing at the grand final for the NRL. It will be Macklemore, which is great.
That's unreal.
It's terrific. Later in the day, we'll discuss that in full.
So good.
133.53 will be the number.
I'm going to get some
any
cash.
Point.
Thrift shop.
In my pocket.
Growing up. Oh, yeah, can't wait. Macklemore, VIP for the Big Dell, baby.
Basically, you are his audience, aren't you?
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
Yeah. Is he R&B? Or is he rap?
He's a little bit more rap. A little bit hip and hop, I think, is what he is. We'll get to that in a little while. Right now, though, as a look at scoreboard again, 56-18, the Roosters over the Gold Coast in the 20s, ahead of that 3 o'clock kickoff. James Hooper, what is going on with Matty Moylan? Now, the story today that Penrith officials have said that he's 50-50 for staying with the club.
Yeah, I must say I was really surprised when I saw that quote in the paper from the Panthers CEO, Brian Fletcher, given that you know, Matty Moylan at the start of the year. He was made captain. He's a local junior.
Yep.
He's signed currently to a four-year deal. But, look, we broke this story last night on Fox Sports, and the reality is that Matty Moylan at the moment, it's really inopportune timing because Penrith have got the biggest game of their season today against Manly. But he has a little bit of itchy feet, and he's telling people that he's frustrated about what's unfolded at the Panthers this year. And my understanding is that the Panthers had a meeting just to try and clear the air and make sure that everybody was on the same page earlier this week. I believe that involved Matt, and that involved obviously the Penrith coach, Anthony Griffin, and also Phil Gould, the general manager. I believe that some people at Penrith are frustrated. Matt's obviously had a really frustrating season in terms of injuries. He's been in and out of the side. But I think some people at Penrith might be frustrated about the fact that perhaps he hasn't been rehabbing his injuries as best as possible. Might have been having a couple of beers here and there. And where it stands at the moment, Tone, is that Phil Gould told Channel 9 last night that they are going to have a meeting on Monday to just figure out what the hell's going on.
Hoops, what
rival clubs have got hold of this, Tone.
And they've already started
this. Rival clubs, this is how the story's got out. Rival clubs have got hold of this information and began circulating the story. And rival clubs are now all poised and waiting, because if Matt Moylan becomes a free agent, they're going to be queued up left, right and centre.
Absolutely. But where's his frustration? I mean, you can see where the club may be, if, from what you've said. I mean, obviously there was this incident in Melbourne. He was disciplined for that.
Yep.
If there's issues about his rehab and attitude towards that, well, you can see again that's an issue from the club's point of view. Where's his Matt Moylan's frustrations coming from? Do you know? Is there any hint on that?
Not entirely certain, Tone, but yeah, look, the quiet word around is that obviously Matt moved from fullback to 5'8" this season. I'm not entirely certain what his frustration, what is.
But he's made captain.
Yeah, the centre of his frustration. But if you go back to at the start of the year, there was all those stories about, did he want to be captain? Yep. Was he enjoying the responsibility? Obviously, the Panthers had to do a really good job trying to manage that, and they had, and they, you know, went on a strong run, won all those games in a row, 7 in a row, I believe it was, before losing to the Dragons last weekend. But for Matt, it's just been frustrating, in and out of the NRL, lots of injuries. Yes, he was disciplined earlier in the year, so that's sort of the way that I understand it.
Some of the best players in our game have been through that, though. I think, you know, you really need to be careful. I know it's all about culture and these things now, and I understand that Matt was given a big responsibility at an early age to be captain of that club, and maybe he wasn't ready for it at the time. But I mean, remember Jonathan Thurston, that in his early to mid-20s. I mean, you know, he was a bit of a boy, out about town having a bit of fun. I mean, everyone goes through that. You know, your attention to detail doesn't... You look at Nathan Cleary, he's a different character to Matty Moylan, and Nathan would be a guy that you would imagine would go through his rehab and would get everything right. He'd tick every box before he played. That's part of his preparation. Everyone's not the same. And look, Matty's just one of those super talented guys that goes out there and he competes and he plays well every weekend, and he mightn't be the best around the group all midweek, and that's, you can't have 20 guys that are best around the group. It takes, you know, all different characters that play our game. And I just think that, you know, Penrith to sort of shop him around, and the way I took it today in the newspaper from Brian Fletcher's comments, were pretty much out you go. I mean, you don't say that to the media, Hoops, and you've been a journalist for a long time. You don't say things like, well, at this stage, if he wants to go and there's a better offer, and you dangle him out in front of other clubs. Well, I personally thought it must have had something to do with the salary cap. I know that, you know, Penrith have managed their cap pretty well, but given that everyone expected it to be around $10 million and now they need to pull back maybe about, you know, $800,000 or $900,000, I thought that due to that sort of pressure, they thought, as opposed to getting rid of two or potentially three players, they might be going for one player that's had some injuries this year. And then it didn't make sense, but then I could sort of validate the information. But if that's not the case, and you're saying that it's just because maybe, you know, the club aren't happy with some of the things he's doing in rehabilitation, and or maybe Matty's not happy and they're going to part ways, I think that's a really sad day for Penrith.
Absolutely it is. Look, he's a local junior. They made him captain for a reason, because they signed him to that four-year deal and they see him as one of the faces of the future of the club. I think perhaps, Gerds, often when players go into the representative camps these days, they all talk about how much money each other's on. Now, whether that's right or that's wrong, I don't entirely agree with it, but they do. That's part of life.
Yep.
And I I believe that there might have been some conversations where Matt might have thought that, well, hang on, you know, on the salary cap, I think Matt might only be on around 500,
yep,
or something like that. And then there's third parties on top of that. So there's at least a couple hundred on top of that, right?
Yep.
But I think perhaps there might have been a feeling that, well, hang on, am I getting really what I'm worth on the market? And then when the rival clubs hear that, that's when they start this swoop. And that's where they're the ones who've really stirred the pot here, and they're the ones who wanted the story out in the public domain, because it gives them a better chance of causing some friction and then perhaps picking up one of the best players in the
comp. Exactly, who can play plenty of positions in that spine, can't he? He can play the fullback or the half.
Especially in the last couple of years when they've gone after Trent Merrin and James Tarmow on massive money. So all of a sudden, if obviously Matt's not on that big money, you start to think, okay, I've come through the junior system here.
Yeah,
I've done everything
I'm the captain.
Right. I'm the captain. And, you know, where am I in the pecking order? So, yeah, I don't think he's got a massive ego, but I suppose it's just about getting...
I really like Matty Moore. I think he's a great player, and I think he's a really good bloke.
Yeah, I hope he stays, because, you know, watching him come through Penrith, leading their club. And, you know, it's funny, Gus Gould was pushing for Trent Merrin to be the captain, so I wondered why they had Matty as captain when he said... Remember when he said Trent Merrin should be New South Wales captain? So if you're going to push for Trent Merrin to be New South Wales captain... Why wouldn't you just make him captain of Penrith?
I think the reason why they decided to go with Matty at the Panthers, if you go back to when Gus was the coach, and how old was Freddie? He made Freddie the captain when Freddie was only still a very young man. And the reason was because Freddie was a little bit loosey-goosey at that time, and I think he thought the added responsibility would actually be good for his football and good for him as a person.
It's bad timing, that story, obviously, this week, given that, as you said, that game this evening.
What does he play, Matty? I mean, I know he's been
named
in the 21.
He will not play today. His hamstring, he picked up a fresh hamstring strain last week, so he's had hamstring issues over the course of the last month. This one's a new one. It's a new issue, so it's not related to the previous tears that he has had, but he definitely won't play today. He's a chance next week.
Big game, obviously, but with the Cowboys being beaten, you'd imagine, as I said, unless there's a huge points difference in that game, both those sides will now go through to the eight. It is the Cowboys, obviously, who can be rolled over by the Dragons should they get up.
No, if Manly get beaten by Penrith, because they've got the same for and against as the Cowboys, if Penrith beat Manly and the Dragons win, then Manly are out. So it's a big game for both clubs tomorrow.
I would have thought Manly's points differentials was better than the Cowboys.
But no, I think it's exactly the same.
Are they the same?
Yeah.
So you can't win a game and have your for and against be positive.
Okay.
It's impossible.
133353 is our number. Keen to talk to you. If you've got anything you want to get across during the afternoon, we're here to help as the Roosters again head downfield 60-24 lead.
Tony's still on New York time, and you've just carved him up.
Yeah.
Well, what have I done?
No, they were facts. You did need to point them out, but you're still half pie on New York.
Oh, I just don't want to. No. I mean, it's a big equation this time of year, and we just can't have sloppy hosts coming back from holidays given the wrong information.
I'm going to go and do the maths right now, and I'll come back to you. 133353 if you like me better than Ryan. So no triple M in a row.
Need some love.
A minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Hallelujah.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon from beautiful Allianz Stadium on a perfect day for a game of footy. Should be a good one. As I was saying before the break, points difference is absolutely the same between the Scourge. It's an important game this afternoon. Anything could happen.
A little bit of research wouldn't kill you.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I did research.
Yeah.
I looked at the scoreboard and saw that the Rabbitohs got beaten by the Eels 22-16. As I look at that tyre power scoreboard, under strength, the Rabbits last night, and they were in that game till almost the death. Semi Radradra, backing up after four tries last week, managed just the three. A little bit disappointing for him. They're not nearly as impressive the Eels last night, but still they've now got themselves into the top four.
Yeah, but I think they had one eye on the prize, didn't they, Tony? They went up to Brisbane last week and had a big game up there at Suncorp Stadium and really got themselves up for that contest, and they sort of got themselves ready for the game this week. And, you know, there was no Burgess, there was no Reynolds. They had a couple of guys pull out just at the death. Crichton pulled out. Yep. So, you know, for the Parramatta guys trying to prepare for that game, you'd like to think that that doesn't happen in this level, but it just does. And they've got Melbourne next week. They knew that. So they probably went out there And you could just tell with their performance, I mean, the things that they usually do so well, it just wasn't part of their game last night. Their line speed was poor. And their big players, the guys that stand up for the big moments, the Normans, the Mitchell Moses, Nathan Brown, those guys, they just did what they had to do and they got the points. And I think that's whether I'm going to see it that way. I'm not going to look into that and pull that performance apart and say, well, they're going to get flogged by Melbourne. I just think they did what they need to win. I want to give South Sydney some credit because they were just brave, and their set pieces in the back half of the season. Don't forget they won three in a row before they got annihilated last week by Melbourne. But yeah, they put in a really complete performance last night. Robbie Farrell was brilliant. They put Damien Cook from dummy half to fullback, in the warm up, and he did an outstanding job, as did, you know, most of their guys, Cody Walker and these young guys, Cameron Murray and Campbell Graham, really players of the future. And I think South will be happy with the way that they've finished the season.
Huge performance from the Bunnies, given how decimated they were. So no Sam Burgess, no Aaron Gray, as you touched on. Young Damien Cook had to shift back to fullback at the 11th hour. So I thought it was a massive dig from them. But in relation to the Eels, listening to the Fox League commentary last night, Michael Ennis made the point that last week against the Broncos, fast track, dry, they were up for it. It was like a semi-final. They knew that it was going to be on. Whereas last night, a little bit dewy, a little bit wet, expected to win, going in heavy favourites. So I think that they'll be ready to go when they go down and face the Storm next week.
Campbell Graham, the school kid. If you're
great
school kid,
story.
Yeah, it is a great story. But when you're starting looking at your books in the afternoon and you've got your school case, then you're going out that evening and Sammy Radra is suddenly running at you full pelt. Fairly intimidating.
Welcome to first grade.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, Lloyd Akiri said it to me last week. We were just talking about Sammy and he just said, mate, he couldn't believe how big he is. He's like a racehorse the way he's built. Like, for a young kid like that, they're the games that you do want to play, even though he's an absolute beast, Sammy. He's playing with such confidence at the moment. Players are just, you know when players are in a purple patch, and that's what Sammy is. Everything he's doing now, he's got quality. The only deficiency he's probably got sometimes, I think Brad Arthur said it last week, is in defence he gets a little bit lost sometimes. But from a guy who's come from rugby union, hasn't been in the league that long, just what he's doing is unbelievable. He can be like Jared Hayne 2009, what he can bring to them in the final series.
Him versus Vunivalu next week is worth the price of admission. Oh, it really is. Yeah. I mean, what a clash that's going to be. At O'Carr thrown into it. But, when you come up against the Melbourne Storm, you need to do all the basics. You need to get the fundamentals right. You know, you can't give them opportunities in your own half, you know. Like, that game against the Brisbane Broncos, you're exactly right. They completed. That was a really fast track, and they play a really interesting style, Parramatta, where with their two halves, they play with a lot of width, and they all push up with the football through the middle and do little interchange passing between their bigger men because they haven't got a lot of size that some of the other teams possess. But then they stand with a lot of width off the dummy half, and then when they get the football, they like to attack those edge defenders and really give them trouble. And I think that's the sort of style that can really trouble the Storm. But if they do the little things right, they've got one of the best kicking games in the competition. Moses and Norman, a couple of weeks ago, they had about five or six repeat sets in one half of football. So they've got the footy on a string. So all those little things that you need to do right to tackle Melbourne, they possess in their game. It's just about getting it all right on the night.
When that game was in the balance last night, Corey Norman came up with a brilliant crossfield kick for Semi's third try. Yep. And then also, when they were coming out of real trouble, coming out of their own red zone, he put in a brilliant kick under pressure with the clock winding down. And I reckon it must have, on a wet night, it must have gone nearly 80 metres. It was a brilliant kick. Sat up, and from that point on, they were never going to get beat. So you're right, their kicking game is first class.
And we talk about like their forwards, and they don't get many accolades in that, but I've got to say, I didn't think Nathan Brown was this sort of player. The change in the way that he's changed, you know, coming from West Tigers, you know, I thought he was going to be a journeyman. When the Bunnies let him go, I'm thinking, oh, this bloke's going to go to about five or six clubs. And just, you know, he got player of the year, I think, Parramatta's player of the year.
He did.
So,
and shows you what a good coach Brad Arthur
that's
is.
What I was
he obviously
say.
Saw something in him. He saw enough in him at the West Tigers. I remember when he was coming through at the West Tigers, he had a reputation as a real hard nut. He had come through in the halves. He started off as a half, right?
Good cricketer,
then
too.
Brilliant cricketer. Yeah. Like, had to make a decision of whether he was going to play cricket or whether he was going to pursue rugby league. And he had this reputation as being a little bit loose, a little bit of a lunatic, but he was one of those firebrand forwards. By the time he moved into the front row, he was one of those firebrand forwards that you wanted in your side. Then they let him go for some reason. I don't think your man Jason Taylor apparently didn't have a rap on him.
Well, no one knows. So, Taylor, he let out a car go too. Well done, JT.
Unbelievable.
So then he went to Souths, couldn't kick on at Souths, and he's gone to Parramatta, and Brad Arthur's done a brilliant job.
Brad Arthur, I liked his analogy. He said, playing against Melbourne next week, it's like having a free throw at the stumps. Basically, there's no pressure on them, is there, on Parramatta. Everybody expects that Melbourne, who are just being, they're kind of a little step above so far this season, expect them to do the job, so they can go there and have throw the ball around and have a go. And that's what he wants. He wants that kind of, he's already started, oh, we're done with that tight kind of wrestling game. He wants to see some open footy, doesn't he?
And that happened a couple of years ago. Remember when the Bulldogs went down there, no one gave the Bulldogs a chance, and they were like 22-24-0 after about 20 minutes. Same with Parramatta. Parramatta can do that to the Storm. And the Storm, at some stage, they're going to have a dip because they're playing some really good football at the moment, but like they're so short for the premiership.
What they're going to have to do, Parramatta, is you need to make the Storm chase points as well. And Parramatta don't start well. That's one thing. I mean, last night, I think it was the 14th time they've led going to half-time, Parramatta, and they just got the lead just on half-time. And they haven't been beaten all season when they've led at half-time, so they're the best at closing out games. But I don't think Melbourne will be too far behind them. I mean, Melbourne have only lost four games altogether anyway. But what you need to do to put a little bit of more pressure on the Melbourne Storm is make them chase points, not let them get in front and dictate what's going on to you. And Parramatta can only do that if they come out of the blocks really hard down there and change what hasn't been working for them. You know, although they got out of the blocks good against, you know, well against the Broncos, didn't they? And they got out to that lead. Thanks to Adam Blair. Yeah. That's not going to happen in Melbourne. They're not going to gift you those sort of opportunities. But I think if they go out with that same sort of energy, it's just, you know, they can't sit back and wait to see what happens down in Melbourne. They need to be the aggressor.
Interesting to see whether Supercoach Craig Bellamy does rest any more players this evening in that game. Obviously, they can't be toppled. That minor premiership already theirs. We'll wait and see on the outcome of that. Plenty to come. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Saturday Triple M NRL doing it for Bryden's Lawyers, Ryan Gertler, James Hooper, Wendell Saylor, Tony Squires at Allianz Stadium before the Roosters take on the Titans. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock. Maroon will carry his throat into this very room to deliver one of the greatest calls ever, I'm sure. Father's Day tomorrow, we already know that, Wendell, you are doing the terrific thing and picking up your wife from the airport because it's all about her. I understand that.
It's like opposite day, you know. It's all about me.
So only because he's too tight to pay for an Uber.
I know. I was going to say, put it in a taxi.
Where's she got to go? Wollongong.
I would do that, but my wife she's real old school. You know, her family are from the Burdekin up there, North Queensland. They like you going into the airport, seeing them off, and meeting them there. Like, that's not my go.
Fair play. I respect that.
But my daughter's coming with me. I saw her.
You're an old man with good values, aren't you?
Yeah.
Brought up in the Greater Western Sydney.
So I'm actually looking forward to seeing her. It's been a while. Yeah.
How long has it been? A week?
Yeah, but it's been a while.
I'll tell you what,
that could be the moustache as well.
She will be surprised by the growth on
the moustache is flying. What have you been putting in that thing?
No, but can I tell you?
There's been some stimulation going on. It's in your top lip, brother.
It's like a merkin.
I'd love to feel it. I've been dying to feel it. Ooh, yeah.
Are you going against the grain or with the grain?
I went against it.
Oh, wow.
It's good. Feel it. Feel it, hoops.
And no, he's Mo.
But I can't wait. Everyone's been giving me some love about the Mo. And
it has come on, though.
It has.
Oh, I just come on in leaps and bounds. It's flying.
I'm really loving. Actually, Joey saw me a couple weeks ago, and Joey goes, "Mate, what is that on your lip?" He goes, "You look very sleazy, mate." So that's a big come from you, Joey. Thank you.
Yeah, what's accurate as well. Is there any kind of eye liner? Have you put any colour in it at all? Be honest.
A little bit.
You have, haven't you?
Yeah.
You have.
We picked it. Yeah. We said there'd be some sort of stimulation.
Yeah, and I have. Yeah.
You put a rinse in it.
A little bit.
You put a rinse in the bowl.
Was there grey in there, was there?
There's a little bit of
salt and pepper. Yeah, right.
Did you go to a professional to do it?
Oh, yeah. My mate Simon Bow up in Brisbane, he trimmed it up a little bit for me last week, and he's going to get some stuff that helps it really sort of...
Gives it a bit of volume.
Bloom.
Yeah. So I did a little bit of patchwork because there's a few greys coming through the middle there. So, but your boys picked it.
That's brilliant.
I love it.
Just rinse the tash.
Give it this one.
Outstanding. I'm not vain, but that's the thing.
All right. Well, we're contemplating Wendell Saylor's beautiful moustache.
I think I've got to go wash my hands.
I've got to wipe mine. Realize I've been rubbing Wendell's moustache.
I've been back with you guys for now. I've got to go and wash my soul. Well, why don't we play a little bit of this?
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Because it's Father's Day. tomorrow. Why don't we do the best of the best father-son combinations in the NRL? Obviously not playing together, but those who have made it to the NRL level. Who are we thinking are the best fathers and their sons to don the boots? Well, I'll start with you, given you've got the moustache going so beautifully, Del.
Okay, well, we're here today at Allianz Stadium, so I'm going to go with Mitchell Pearce and Wayne Pearce. That's a
very
good combo.
Very good combo.
And of course, even though I do appreciate the forwards, I'm going to go to the backs now. Mm-hmm. And mate, the Morris boys, Josh and Brett Morris and Slippery Morris, mate, speed the burn.
Yeah.
Which one are you going to go with? All of them. Which one are you going to go with?
I'm just going to throw them all in together.
You go with Brett.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're going to go with Josh.
Brett or Josh. Or the new brother, the new one that's coming through.
Dylan. No. Well, Brett's probably my favourite Morris. I shouldn't say that, but I like Josh and Brett the same. But I'm going to go with Brett Morris.
Just because they're twins, you don't have to like them the same.
No, but they're both good mates of mine. But since Brett invited me to his wedding and Josh didn't, I'm going to go with Brett.
That's more about who likes you most.
Yeah, true. And then last but not least, one of my favourites, my fellow dual partner in crime over the years, not Lloyd Dequeury, Matt Rogers, Matt and Steve Rogers.
Superstar.
Superstar. Absolute legend.
Okay. They're very difficult to top. Okay, so Hoops, it's your job.
Yeah, I'm going to kick off with two absolute all-time champions, John Sattler and Scott Sattler.
Who could
forget that tackle that Scotty made in that grand final that you won, Kurtz, back in 2003.
No one John close Sattler to Sats will ever forget it.
Actually, I saw some vision of Mad Monday the other day on TV. It was very funny. You were holding the trophy to reenact it. But John Sattler, obviously, absolute legend.
Broken jaw, grand final.
Broken jaw. Yeah.
Embarrassing for Tottenham too. Just
world champion.
Yep.
Then I'm going to go with a couple of blokes who played for the Roosters. The Roosters are playing today. Bill Mullins held the Roosters try-scoring record for many years until Anthony Minicello beat it. Yep. He scored 104 tries for the Chooks.
Yep.
And who could forget Brett Mullins? Absolute legend on and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go for John Lang and Martin Lang.
Yes,
two tough old school hard nuts who never let anybody down.
Had a great sidestep through Martin Lang.
Exactly. At some point, somebody should try to run not at the person, run at the gap.
That was his thing.
Remember when you ran down Rod Wishart?
He was quick.
In
he was
Origin.
Quick,
really?
Yeah, wow. Did you remember that?
All right, they're very good.
Okay. Short twitch, fast switch fibres, though, Wishy, go for about 60, and then those big thighs. I mean, 2K wires would pull him up. Okay, I'm going to go back to the 70s and 80s with the Eric Groths.
Oh,
the Gurus.
Yes.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Yes.
Then I'm going to go more sort of current, present day, Ivan and Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And I've got another father and son combination. One of them's playing here today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit obscure because they don't have the same last name, but Manoah Thompson and Jarrah Hayne.
Well played.
Yeah.
Well played.
I didn't think about that at all. That is very good. Okay, honourable mentions, obviously, to Wendell and Tristan Saylor.
Thank you.
Obviously, Tristan, not quite the heir at the NRL, but on his way. The Fulton family.
Yeah.
We probably should.
Matt and Jack Johns.
Matt and Jack Johns. Yeah. Exactly.
Paul and Curtis Sirenin.
The Sirenins.
Paul Sirenin was
Yeah. Robin and Scott Goulet, if you want to go back in time a little bit. And the entire Cartwright family. There's some of them as well. All right, plenty there in the best of the best. Some pressure for a couple of coaches whose seasons are coming to an end. Their time at the clubs also coming to an end. We'll get there next on Saturday Triple M NRL.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. For Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
The time to rewrite history is now.
With Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper. Triple M rocks the footy.
Coming to you, bright sunshine, beautiful day in Sydney. We're at Allianz Stadium. We're in the New South Wales Cup just underway. Canterbury and Wyong. It is still no score in that game. We talked about South Sydney and their efforts against Parramatta last night. There still remains, despite their terrific effort, and they were unmanned but still did okay. There seems to be pressure, James Hooper, around a couple of coaches for next year, and the buzz just keeps continuing, doesn't it? One being Michael Maguire, and the other, of course, is Des Hasler, whose team runs out tomorrow against the Dragons after a season which they obviously would rate as a failure. Where are we at? What is the truth? Where is Michael Maguire sitting as we speak?
Yeah, it's a tough question at the moment, Tone. I was watching the Professor's second year syndrome on Fox League last night, and they had Paul Kent on, Triple M and Fox League's very own Paul Kent. And he said that he thinks that Michael Maguire, in all likelihood, has probably coached his last game for the Bunnies last night. So I've got to say that caught me a little bit by surprise. But there has there has been rumblings for a while now. I tried to get to South Sydney general manager of football, I think's his title now, Shane Richardson, earlier today, and to put this question to him, and he ducked and weaved and didn't really give me any definitive response that filled me with confidence that that he was going to be the coach. But speaking to some other people around the game as well today, they said that Richo had assured them as recently as a couple of weeks ago that Madge was safe. But look,
where's his contract till?
He's got another 2 years.
What?
Yeah, he's got another 2 years. So, look, as you know, in rugby league, there's no such thing as secrets, and where there's smoke, there's generally fire. So I don't think he's safe by any stretch.
The question, of course, will be, and we can get to that, you know, who is around that can jump into that kind of position. From what you've seen, though, Ryan Girdler of South Sydney's, obviously, you know, after their premiership, there's plenty of times coaches, they get something great out of players, and then after a little while, they plateau, and they need to hear from somebody else, other voices, all of those cliched things.
Yep.
What's your view of how they've played under Michael Maguire this season?
Yeah, well, there's so many moving parts to being a first-grade coach, Tony, and I think in relation to, you know, obviously the salary cap and keeping all that, he's had to make some big decisions. Obviously, Sam Burgess going and coming and letting some key players go. So, yeah, look, there's been a lot of people hasn't agreed with some of the decisions he's made in relation to retention and recruitment in the past, but I think he's done a pretty good job in the past sort of two seasons getting everything back on track, and I feel like they're headed in the right direction with some junior talent coming through and obviously some good acquisitions in the off-season this year. Look, I think maybe for mine, I think he's a really good coach, Michael Maguire. I'm like you though, Tony. I think everything has its lifespan. I'm not sure whether he's had that at South Sydney, and for his own good and for the good of the playing group and the betterment of the club, maybe he should move on and apply his services somewhere else and they bring in a new voice. Yeah, I wouldn't be sort of against that, but at the same time, seeing their performances over the last month, you know, not including last week's, you know, game against Melbourne, you know, I think they seem to all be playing at the moment. They're all headed in the one direction where they could have, they've been out of the finals race now for probably about half a dozen weeks. They could have put their cue in the rack, but they haven't. They've been building on next year. So the message he's giving, they seem to be receiving. So look, I would be a little bit surprised, but in saying that, maybe it is time, and maybe Madge needs to go somewhere else and get a new group of players, some new administration, and apply his trade in another place.
He's applying something here is Wendell Sarlo, who's just applied moisturiser to his arms. What are you oiling
up for?
I've
got it here. I've got it here. I had to laugh. He's just pulled out a green bottle of Garnier Body Intensive 7 Days Rich Repairing Lotion.
My skin's a bit dry. What's wrong with that?
No, it's nothing wrong with it. It's just an unusual. Here we are in the regular commentary box.
What else you got in that?
Just a box of tissues.
What else you got in that man's satchel?
Put polish on your moustache, and then you're...
They're oiling up.
Actually, can I have some moisture? My hands
are really hot. I haven't seen Wendell blow his nose in 5 years, and he's carrying a box of tissue. That's the concern.
And moisturizer.
Yeah, put it together, Tony.
You come on, mate.
Honestly, that's a stitch up.
When's your wife come home?
Tomorrow morning.
I've noticed the bottle's empty for you.
Okay, enough with the jokes, boys. Okay. Let's get back talking about Madge.
Talk about Madge. Away you go, fella.
No, I think it's unfair on Madge, especially this year. I understand Sam, you know, he left and then he came back and then they got rid of some players, but you've got a 2-year deal, and he's brought these young players in this year.
That smells nice, by the way.
And I think it's harsh because he brought some new assistants there with Dave Ferner and Anthony Seibold. He should be at least given next year to see where he goes, and then maybe they might give him a tap on the shoulder. But I'm pretty sure when you lose a guy like Inglis, that was a bad call. He knew leaving him on there, but no one knew the ramifications of what was going to happen there. So I hope Madge stays there for at least another year.
There was a lot of rumblings in the middle of the year, Tone, that Anthony Seibold, who's one of the assistants at the South Sydney club, he came through the Melbourne system, is that right?
Yeah, it's
Wendell, and then spent some time at Manly last year. But all the rumblings midway through the year when the Bunnies were really struggling were that Seibold was going to take over from Madge as of next year. Now, I put that on Shane Richardson time and time again, and he denied it and said, no, absolutely not. That's not how it is. We're a team here. Madge is our head coach, and Anthony Seibold and Dave Ferner work underneath him. Then I think what has worked in Madge's favour is they had a bit of a renaissance, the Bunnies. Like, they strung some wins together at the end of the year. They blooded some good young players. Cameron Murray, Campbell Graham, next generation blokes. Fumualo, is that him in the centres? He's been great, Terrell. So I just think that, we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. The one thing that Madge does have in his favour is he enjoys a really strong rapport with the Bunnies owner, Russell Crowe. And I know that if they do decide that they're going to part company, they'll want to do it in the most respectful manner that is possible.
All right, well, let's slip over to the blue and whites of the Bulldogs, who have also, in the past few weeks, been playing some better footy as well. But the conversation about Des Hasler and his position there has been ongoing from virtually the beginning of the season. He, of course, was re-signed for a further 2 years.
Yep.
Again, that talk now comes to whether he will be there after that game against the Dragons tomorrow. He missed, now, I don't know, conspiracy theorists, he missed, I think, his press conference this morning. He was crook. Dean Pay was the man who turned up instead.
No, not Dean Pay.
Not Dean Pay. Dean Jim Pay's Dimmick, from sorry. The Raiders. Jim Dimmick was the man who turned up.
Oh, yep. There's two loose carries today, Dan, but that's all right.
He's jet lagged still.
Come on, it's the moisture.
You don't get jet lagged.
You don't get jet lagged in business. Class.
Sorry, boys. I travel economy. Sorry, boys.
He's just a little tipsy on the verge.
Oh, it's so good.
Welcome back, Tony.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. I'm only here for the first hour.
That's all you need to be here for, mate.
Exactly right. I've really lifted the team, though.
Yeah.
So what is the latest on that?
Oh, the latest with Des is, look, the smart money says he's $1.04 that he won't be there next year. So the Bulldogs are going to do a full football club review at the end of the season. So they'll get through tomorrow's game against the Dragons. Then they'll do a full review of everything. I think perhaps one little flicker of light that might work in Des's favour is they've won a couple of games over the last few weeks. Apparently some of the players went to Des and just said, look, we've got to take the shackles off. We just want to play some footy. Can we just get back to, you know, basically keeping it simple and playing what's in front of us? And we've seen the results. But all the smart money tone says that Dean Pay will be, the Bulldogs coach next season. And that the club is going to have to somehow figure out a way with Des, that they can part ways in an amicable, fashion that is financially fair for everybody. And obviously, you know, you got to pay the utmost respect to Des. He's won two competitions with the Seagulls. He's been a very good coach for a long, long time. So you can't just come out and cut somebody like that off without notice.
Sadly, they have been playing a better footy of late in terms, sadly, for the Dragons, who played them tomorrow, must beat them. But they've been a little bit freer in the way they've played, and that's been the criticism on Des for most of the year, hasn't it? That fairly predictable in the way they've gone about their attack. There's been a little mixed up a little bit more. Some Michael Leisha stuff has been good as well. What are your thoughts on Des?
I just don't think it's the on-field situation.
Yep.
Tone. I think there's a lot to do probably with the off-field situation as well, and managing the cap and, you know, they're under a fair bit of pressure at the moment, the Bulldogs, and we all know that they're trying to lose some players and move some players on. We're seeing that with potentially the James Graham deal being done sort of over the next few days. And, you know, I think obviously Dead needs to be held accountable for getting the Dogs in that situation. I mean, he's the guy that's buying the players. I'm not sure how involved the board are in relation to those decisions, or whether it's, you know, Ray Leancastle and Dez or whoever's putting that together, but that's a part of the role there of a head coach, and they haven't done it well, and they're the only sort of side that are well over the cap. Everyone else, even though it wasn't in concrete, everyone else got a tip off at the start of the year saying it was going to be a certain amount, and most clubs, you know, they took note of that and they acted accordingly and mostly responsibly, but the Bulldogs haven't. And I think, you know, obviously that's another thing at the moment that they're probably looking at in relation to what Des Hasler has achieved at the Bulldogs. And yeah, sure, those things about a great coach and what he's done, a couple of grand finals and success in the finals and all that sort of stuff, but their style of footy, the fact of the matter are, their style of footy this year and last year has been really poor, except for recently, and their cap situation is a debacle, and the head coach has got to be held accountable for that to some degree.
Absolutely, he does. I think he's got to be held accountable wholeheartedly. I reckon where Dez has been stung, Gerds, is at the Seagulls, he came up with this system, and obviously he's a highly intelligent bloke, but in relation to the salary cap, he came up with this system, essentially it's like a Ponzi scheme, where your back-end contracts, right?
Yeah.
And your back-end and your back-end and your back-end, and you're in the finals, and you're in the grand finals, and you're winning competitions. But then at some point, it goes pear-shaped. And if you look at Manly when Jeff Toovey took over, Toovey was still good enough to coach him to a grand final.
So you say...
But then it all imploded, didn't it? Then it went pear-shaped.
Absolutely.
And now Trent Barrett is still
trying to put it back together, right?
He's gone to Canterbury. He's done exactly the same thing.
But when you've got a system, there's obviously at the back end when it all blows up, you've got to take that into consideration.
It's like a Ponzi scheme.
You don't worry about what happens down there. You try and...
Well, obviously he doesn't. He tries to seize the day and go through that window.
Because essentially you're cheating. Because what you're basically doing is...
We're not cheating.
Well, basically what you're trying to do is if it's, let's say it's an $8 million cap, yeah? So you're trying to get, you know, $10 million worth of players and squeeze them into an $8 million cap and then pay them at the back end and worry about that later. So you've really got $10 million worth of players, yeah, but you're paying them that season eight and then the year after...
At some point it implodes.
Doesn't sound like a really good system.
It's imploded at the Bulldogs. Well, he won two comps using it at Manly.
Well, he didn't at the Bulldogs.
No, but he got him to two grand finals.
Yeah.
All right, the Bulldogs in the New South Wales Cup are playing to Wyong now at the moment. 10-0 Wyong lead, 23 minutes into this New South Wales Cup game. We are at Allianz Stadium, all heading towards that 3 o'clock kickoff. Plenty to come. This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Protecting your future.